I love the story in that song. Do you love it? It's a good song. It's a good story in that song, isn't it? I love the last words of Silent Night when it said, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. I love the Christmas season. I love the opportunity to give. And I love to worship the Lord, especially during this season when we just celebrate God becoming man. Amen? It's a good time. It's a good time to celebrate. I'm so thankful to see you this morning. So glad that you've come to worship with us. If you're new or newer, we're delighted to have you. Thank you for coming. And like I said earlier, if you haven't been getting calls from us, we would put your name and number in the call system and you would get all announcements. So we'd love to do that for you. Before we go any further, let's pray. Oh God, what a beautiful time of the year to celebrate Jesus all over again. Oh God, what a wonderful gift you've given to us in your Son. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of the human race. Thank you for the plan to redeem us back to yourself through your Son. Thank you, Jesus. As we gather today on the second Sunday of Advent, help us to know you more, O God. Help us to want to know you more. Help us to know Jesus and his words even more. Father, there's a lot of names on our prayer focus this morning. We want to lift them up to you and ask for a touch of your hand, a touch of healing, a touch of encouragement, a touch of direction. And I want to pray this morning again, Father, for those that have lost loved ones. Thank you for opportunities like Grief Share that'll happen tomorrow night. But I want to pray, Father, for those that have lost their loved ones, whether it was last week, last month, last year. Will you comfort them, Father? Holidays are hard. Will you comfort them in a really special way? Will you be so near to them, O God, that they can feel your very presence and draw their strength and peace from you? I do thank you, Father, for everyone that's come to join us this morning on this second service, and I do thank you for all the rest of the churches in our communities. Guide us by your Spirit, O God. May the name of Jesus be lifted up, and you, our Father in heaven, you, the one who is seated on the throne, you who we call Almighty, may you receive the glory. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have chosen this Advent season to not necessarily focus on Luke 1 or 2 or Matthew 1 or 2. Those all tell the Christmas story, and I hope that you will read them throughout this season, Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1 and 2. But I have chosen to go in a little different direction for this Advent season. I have chosen to use the statement from Jesus, picking three specific scriptures for these three Sundays, when Jesus says, I am. He said that a lot. You know that, right? He said that a lot. I am. And then he launches into telling us who he is. So for these next three Sundays, that's what I'm going to do, speak to what Jesus said to help us understand. We know he comes as a baby. We know all that. We've celebrated that, and I hope that you will celebrate that and reread that. But I want to focus these 3 weeks on the statements of Jesus from three places in Scripture, I am. Now, today's scripture comes from John 15. If you've got your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there because I want you to follow along. If you don't have it, it'll be on the big screen. And it just so happens that yesterday a little something happened in my life that kind of fits in with this story that I'm going to tell from Jesus. And so for two reasons, I'm going to start this way. On Friday night, Friday afternoon, Friday night, I finished reading the newest Decision magazine. Most of you know that's Billy Graham Evangelistic Association magazine. I've been reading it for a long time. It's a great magazine. When I get done with them, I put them out here for you to read them. Anyway, I finished the brand new one, and one of the last stories was about Air Force pilot, a C-141 pilot, and the time was the Vietnam War. And the long and the short of this story, it really touched my heart. It was a beautiful story. And the long and the short of this story was, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I'm not going to tell you the story. I don't have time for that. I'm going to read Jesus' words in a minute. But if you happen to have a Decision magazine or can go online and look it up, it's a good story. And it just so happens, shortly after I got done, I was blessed to have six of our grandbabies amongst us that night. And so I gathered them around and I said, Pa's going to read you a little story. It wasn't a child's book. It was from the Decision magazine. I read him the whole story about this C-141 pilot, how he celebrated Christmas, and what happened. And I told them, I explained to them, see, the whole story, the whole point of the story is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's a quote from Paul, from Jesus. And I tried to tell my children, our grandchildren, this is a wonderful time of the year to be reminded of that. God gave us his best. And it's a good time for us to be reminded it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I tried to instill that in my six grandchildren Friday night. The very next day, Saturday, I was doing some things around, and I'd gotten back home about 2-ish, I suppose. And I don't think I was home 10 minutes. And matter of fact, I think I'd taken up my position on the couch. I can get pretty comfortable on the couch once in a while, and I'm thinking that's about where I'd arrived. And my phone was going off, so I pull it out, and I see it was Lakewood Health System. I cannot identify their numbers. And so I got up, went to the door where I have better reception, and it was a nurse there, and she said, Jim, this is so-and-so, and I've got a patient here that's ready to go home, and they need a ride. We don't have a ride. Wonder if you could give them a ride, or wonder if you knew somebody that could. I said, well, where are they going to? Well, they're going to Sabika. And I'm thinking, Sabika, that's not one of mine, because we don't have people driving down to worship with us from Sabika that I'm aware of. And so I'm pondering in my mind, I'm thinking, part of me is thinking, why do I get these calls? And part of me is thinking what I just told my children last night. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I told the nurse, I said, well, this time, you know, it's Saturday, and the patient is ready to be dismissed right now, and it's time for, and she did, I think she said it was a her. I said, he better check to make sure she's comfortable riding with a him. Normally, that's not my policy to take women anywhere alone in a car. And she said, yeah, I checked with her, she's okay. I told her you're a pastor. And so I said, all right, I don't know of anybody I can call up and say, you want to run to Sabika? So I said, I'll come and I'll get her. And I came back and told Sherry, she had three granddaughters with her yet at that time. They were working on some things, and I told her, I'm just going to go take her home. And Sherry and I talked about it really briefly, and I said to her, I believe it's of the Lord. I don't think these things are an accident. And I said to my girls, my wife and three of my granddaughters, I said, who wants to go with Pa to Sabika? And Catherine, our 4-year-old, most of you know Catherine, she said, I don't, because I'd puke. And I didn't have a clue what she meant, so I turned to Grandma for translation. And then Catherine enlightened me a little bit, and she said, if I rode in the back seat that far, I'd get car sick. Well, I don't think she knows where Sabika is, and I told Grandma, I'm not talking Siberia, I'm talking Sabika. But anyway, I couldn't get any takers, so I said, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to pick her up, and I'm going to take her home. And I got up to the upper level, and I said, I'm here to take the lady that needs a ride to Sabika. And so we went to her room. The nurse was getting her in her wheelchair and getting her ready, and I didn't even see her face. She was back to the wall and back to the door, and she wheeled her out, and I said, let me go. And she didn't even have a coat. She didn't have no shoes. She had these fancy little socks that the hospital gives out. You know the kind, the little dots all over them. I told her a little later on, I got me a pair of them. Mine are yellow, though. Hers were red. And I said, let me go start the car. And I got the car close, and the nurse got her down there, and the nurse helped her get her in. And as soon as I really didn't even know what she looked like, except her hair was purple. And she got her in the car, and I drove out onto the highway. I headed west, and she's doing this on her phone. And so I thought I'd just leave her alone. She obviously ain't too interested in talking to no preacher. And so she was doing this for 2-3 miles, and I finally said to her, my name is Jim. Thought I may as well start somewhere. And she said, my name is Levada. I didn't catch it completely at that point. And she went back to doing this. And I asked her a few miles west of Staples, I said, you going to have a Christmas, Levada? No, I ain't have no Christmas. She said, I don't have any money, and I don't really have any family that's got any time for me. I lost my husband 10 years ago after surgery. He was 42 years old. I got a daughter in Sabika. Matter of fact, we had to stop at her place to get the keys so I could get Levada back in her apartment. And she's got some kids, but I hardly know my kids, and I don't know my grandkids. So I thought, well, that's pretty heavy. So I let her go back to her phone, and I didn't say anything for a few more miles. And I said to her, I'm going to turn north here at Verndale. I'm going to go north, and I'm going to come into Sabika from the east. And it was a pretty quiet ride. And she said, where do you pastor at church anyway? And I said, well, I pastor a church in Motley, Free Methodist Church in Motley. I said, do you do church? Do you go to church, Levada? No, I don't do church. And I thought, okay, well, and I breathed the silent prayer, Lord, where do I go from here? And a couple miles later, I said to her, Levada, I believe God loves you. She didn't look at me. But she said two things. The first I didn't quite catch. The second thing I definitely caught. She basically said, God can save it for somebody else. And I knew she'd been hurt by somebody real bad. And she breathed a little bit of information to me. She said, it's about 4 years old. And I thought, oh, Lord, I've heard these stories way too many times. And she told me a couple, three things. And then there was silence as we made our way through bluegrass and on north on a quiet afternoon. I said to her again, after she said, I just want to thank you for giving me a ride home. I said, Levada, I don't think this is no accident that I'm taking you home. I got the call to take you home. I said, I don't believe in luck, and I don't even really believe in coincidences. I think this is of God. And I said, I don't even know why it's of God, other than for me to tell you again, I believe with all sincerity that God loves you. And I said, you've told me, Lovato, you're not going to have any Christmas. You haven't got any money. And I said, I believe maybe the other reason is that, well, every now and then I have generous people at church. They hand me something and they say, give this to somebody in need. And I said, maybe I'm the conduit to help you have a little Christmas. And so I took her on to Sabika and we got the key from her daughter and I took her over to her apartment. And I asked her, I said, Lovato, can I pray for you? I want to get your name and address because I want to send you a little something tomorrow. So I wrote it on one of my business cards and put it in my pocket. And I said, can I pray for you? That's the first time she looked at me in the 45 miles. She said, yeah, you can pray. And I pray that she would know the Prince of Peace at this Christmas. Because she don't know nothing about peace right now. And I prayed that her relationship with her daughter would get a little better. And she'd know them grandkids. And I pray that she'd know the love of God. I helped her get out of the car. Like I said, she didn't have no coat. She didn't have no shoes. I said, can you get into your apartment, Lovato? She said, I can. And she made her way into the apartment. And I waited there to make sure she got in. And as she opened up the door, she turned and she waved. And I waved and drove off. I tell you this story for two reasons. One, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And two, in this story that I'm about to tell you in the next few minutes that Jesus told of himself in John 15, he talks about this relationship of a vine and a branch. And he talks about branches bearing fruit. And I've told you this before, and I'll tell it to you again. I believe if you and I, the church, will really avail ourselves to God, he will put people in your path. It might be a neighbor, it might be somebody you never saw before and may never see again, like it could be for me and Lovato. I may never see her again. But I believe that God will put people in your path. And he wants to use you as a branch. I'm going to get to that in a minute. As a conduit of him to tell them they are loved by God. And tell them about Jesus. And maybe even give a little something about your story. I believe God will put people in your path if you will avail yourself to him. And I believe that has something to do with the branch bearing fruit. You're not responsible for their salvation. You and I are responsible for telling them the good news. We are responsible for that. And if you have been born of God, you have a spirit-given gift of God to be used for the kingdom of God and his glory. And if you never use that, you're not bearing fruit. And he calls us to be fruit bearers. And so I tell you that story because I'm going to weave it in here now with what Jesus said and to tell you, when God puts somebody in your path, trust him. It might be of him. And he might want you to tell somebody he loves them. John 15, one of the I am statements from Jesus is, I am the true vine. Now he gives them this little scenario, vineyard, orchard, whatever. I am the true vine. Let me give you this because this is, I think this is important. This is relevant here. John 13, 14, 15, and 16 is conversation with Jesus to the disciples and his followers. This is the night of his betrayal. You got to read the whole thing consecutive to see that. John 13, 14, 15, 16, it is conversation with his people. This is not the religious elite, the Pharisees. They didn't have any time for him. This is not the Gentiles. This is his people. I say that for what he's going to say in the very next verse. You need to know that. He's talking to his people. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman in some of your translations. He's the one that takes care of the vineyard. I am the life-giving vine, he says to his people. Every branch in me, he says, that does not bear fruit, he, that's the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he, that's the Father, prunes. Why does he prune it? That it may bear more fruit. You, he's talking to his people here. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Then he says it again, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That relationship, he is the source of life. We are the branches. He's going to say that to them in the very next verse. But you cannot bear fruit without being connected to the vine. And he says, those that are connected, he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, the Father's going to give them a little chance. He's going to do a little trimming. He's going to do a little pruning. I call it those opportunities to draw closer to him. But he's going to give us a chance to draw closer to him. And if we don't, if we're never going to respond to his pruning and trimming, he's pretty clear at what happens twice. Verse 4, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. In case you were wondering, in case this isn't completely clear, he's saying to his followers and to us today, I am the vine, and you who claim the name of Jesus are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't bear fruit for the kingdom unless we're attached to the vine. Makes perfect sense, does it not, brothers and sisters? Amen. It makes perfect sense. And he goes on to say, again, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And for lack of time, I'll not read the rest of the verse until I get to 16. The story here is 1 through 17. 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. I know a lot of you have a farming connection like I do. In all my life, I've just loved to see the harvest. Doesn't matter what kind of harvest, I love to see the harvest. It could be we're harvesting hay or corn or wheat or potatoes or soybeans, vegetables. I just enjoy the harvest. Now think of this scenario that Jesus just painted for them. You think, because even if you're not a farmer, you've done some gardening, you've done something, you know about plants, you know about apple trees, you know these things. Listen now and think about the plant and fruit relationship for a moment. Without a healthy, fruit-producing plant, you need the plant. He's saying, I am the vine, I am the true vine. Without the healthy, fruit-producing plant, there will be no fruit, there will be no harvest. Are you still with me? That's not that hard, right? We're still pretty elementary. Without a healthy plant, he said, I am the vine. There can't be a healthy branch. There can't be fruit on the branch. There can't be a harvest. You cannot get produce from a branch that's disconnected from the main tree. You can't get an ear of corn from a malnourished, underdeveloped stalk of corn. You can't get potatoes if you've let the potato bugs clean up all the green on top. You see my point? There will be no fruit for harvest if there is not a healthy plant. He is the source of life. He is the vine, he said. I am the true vine. And then he said the second time, I am the vine, you are the branches. And let me take it a step further. There will be no spiritual fruit for harvest if there are not people in the church that are healthy, passionate, connected, abiding in the vine and following Jesus. There will be no spiritual harvest if that doesn't happen. We must be connected to the vine. We must be connected to the life-giving source that is Jesus. There cannot be any spiritual harvest if we, the followers, are not abiding in Jesus. There can't be, there won't be. The branch cannot produce by itself. There cannot be a harvest if we're not abiding in and connected to the life-giving vine of Jesus. You say, Jim, what does that mean? Have I surrendered to Him? It's not just words, yeah, I'm a Christian. Am I abiding in Him? You say, Jim, what does that mean? Am I obedient to the teachings of Jesus? When the Holy Spirit calls you from the hospital and says, you got to go make this trip, are you listening when He prompts you? Am I abiding in the life-giving Christ? I've thought about this last week. I had a different sermon for last week, but that was for last week, so I started on this one. And I thought about this week for vine, branches, produce. And I pray often, God, save souls in Motley, Staples, Leader, Pillager, Lincoln, Philbrook, all around here, Bertha, Wadena, Brainerd. I pray, God, save souls, because eternity depends on if we get right with Jesus, we get right with God. Are you still with me? Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. You can't get to the altar, the throne of judgment someday and say, God, well, I was a pretty good person. It don't work that way. Or I was a church member. Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sin? Have you believed in and embraced the Christ? Are you abiding in Jesus? And so I pray every day, save souls in our community, our state, our nation. Save souls, oh God. And I'm thinking about this whole vine, branch, fruit relationship. And I'm thinking that maybe there's little evidence of the harvest today because people of God, and I am a person of God, I am a part of the church, I am as guilty as anybody else. But maybe there's little evidence of the harvest today because we are not abiding in Jesus the way He tells us to abide in Him. He is the source of life. Not a preacher, not something else. The source of life is Jesus. And maybe we see little evidence of harvest today, and maybe we see less attendance in the church than ever in America before, percentage-wise. And maybe we're seeing churches closing more and more every day all around us because the church is not abiding in Christ the way He said we should. I don't know, I'm just guessing. But I know this, Jesus said, I am the true vine. And there will be no grapes in the vineyard if there's no vine. And there will be no grapes in the life-sustaining nutrients if the life-sustaining nutrients and water coming through the vine aren't connected to each other. There will be no fruit if we're not absolutely, intentionally, and passionately connected to Christ. and there will be no life in the church. Or the person that says, I'm a Christian, without abiding in Jesus. There will be no life because the life comes through Jesus. You cannot live, I've said this many, many times in this journey of follow me, the invitation of Jesus. You cannot live as a follower of Jesus without abiding in him. Oh, we can say we're this, we can say we're that, but we cannot live as the branch producing fruit for the kingdom as he expects us to without abiding in Jesus every day. Not when it's handy. Well, I'll give him a little time. I'll get to church if it's handy. Well, I'll read the word if it's handy. Well, I'll pray if it's handy. I am surrendered to him. He is first. Abiding in him means he is first in my life. Not, well, if I got time. I got a lot more to say, but time is running out really quickly, so I got to pick and choose what I got. I'm going to go over. Let me just jump over a lot of it and say this as I get ready to wrap it up and we'll sing. This Advent season is a time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And this Advent season is a time that we're reminded of God's provision to us. We're reminded that Jesus came as a baby to teach and to live and to heal and instruct and do all the things he did and eventually die on the cross for sin. We're reminded of that at this Advent season. But in these statements I want to share with us, today is the first one, a couple more in the next couple of weeks. I also want us to know, especially today, he came to be a life source to his followers. Are you still with me? He is the source of life. And I would ask you today, friends, are you abiding in Jesus? Because it should show if I am and if you are. It should show if I am abiding in him, if he is first in my life, if he is important, if I have said and been willing to deny myself, take up my cross and follow him. It should be evident with the fruit. And if it's not, God, the vine dresser, is going to prune and he's going to trim and he's going to work and he's going to try to produce fruit through you and me. And if still nothing happens, well, you saw the results. He said it twice. Lopped off, gathered up, thrown out, and burned. And so I ask you today, friends, are you abiding in Jesus? And if your answer is yes, I really believe I am, Jim, then are you bearing fruit? Because that's the expectation of the vine dresser, for us to bear fruit. I'm going to say this to close, then we'll sing. And I'm going to say this out of humility and not condemnation, but I'm going to say it. You cannot be partially connected to the vine and think all is okay. You cannot be partially connected to the vine and bear any fruit. You all have seen the example of a broken off apple tree branch. When it's broken, it's done producing. I say this in humility, brothers and sisters, not because I'm any different than anybody else. But you can't be partially connected and be where Jesus wants you to be. You have got to commit to abiding in Christ. You cannot be partially connected and bear fruit like he asked us to do. And I see a whole lot of folks, through actions and words, that want to be partially connected and assume partially connected is good enough. I'm not trying to be anybody's judge. I'm trying to help us understand partially connected is not what he's asking for of his people. If we're not bearing fruit, he's real clear. The Father will prune and trim. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes pruning and trimming isn't comfortable. Sometimes we get cancer, or we lose a loved one, or something tragic happens in an effort to draw us closer to him and continue to depend completely on the vine. Sometimes pruning and trimming isn't comfortable. But he will do that out of love because he wants us to be grafted in and connected to the vine. And if we're not bearing, he'll give us so much time to bear. The Father will do some pruning. But if we just never respond to the pruning, he'll lop off the branch. And we saw what happens to those. Jane lopped off branches. So to conclude, before we sing this song, what does abiding in Jesus mean? Have you repented of sin? Have you believed he is the Christ? He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Have you received him by faith? And are you following Jesus? That is abiding. I've repented of sin, which means I'm no longer who I used to be in sin. I'm not going to be in sin no more because I've repented of that. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not going there anymore. That's what repentant means. I'm going to turn away from sin. Have you received him by faith? Are you following Jesus? That's where I'm going to leave it. That's between you and Lord. If you want help figuring that out, I'd love to talk to you. So would Pastor Charles. He's not here today. He's preaching in Henriette, another Free Methodist church that doesn't have a pastor. But we'd love to talk to you. If you're not sure what any of that means, we'd love to talk to you. Don't wait. Eternity is coming. We're one breath away. Let's bow our heads. And let me say before I close in prayer, friends, are you abiding in the only source of life for eternity there is? Are you abiding in Jesus? Make sure that you are by faith. Experience his grace. Walk with Jesus. Father, thank you again for this season. This season that you have given us your best. You have given your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being part of this redemptive story. Thank you for not only coming as a baby and becoming a human, but eventually going to that cross and dying for our sin. Father, in your word, the very words of Jesus, you have instructed us throughout the Gospels, and your other writers have instructed us what it means to be born again, to be connected to the vine, to Christ, by faith. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that this season, even this day, people would come to you by faith and be born anew and want to follow Jesus. And when that pruning comes, that pruning that comes out of love of the Father so that we will produce fruit, help us to be able to endure that and recognize your hand that you're pruning us, trying to draw us closer, trying to get us to surrender more of ourselves to you, and bear fruit for the kingdom, for your glory. When that comes, Father, help us to be patient and endure and trusting you through it all. Go with each one here today, Father, into this day, into this week. And when you put those divine appointments in front of us, help us to recognize this is of you. Help us to be there and available for you. We're not, as I said before, not responsible for their salvation, but we are responsible to tell them that God loves them. And maybe even tell them some of our story and tell them about the love of Jesus. And so use your church this week, O God, to bear fruit and bring you glory. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.